Welcome to the Girl Scout Advantage podcast, a podcast where we educate, empower, and share the stories of the Girl Scout experience. Join us to rediscover the magic of leadership, teamwork, and personal discovery. The Girl Scout Advantage, a podcast where you will learn how the Girl Scouts Heart of Michigan creates successful girls for today who will become the leaders of our tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Girl Scout Advantage podcast. I'm your host, Brenna West, and I am so excited to be chatting with Megan Fierro today. So Megan, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So to get us started, would you mind just telling our audience a little bit about you?
I'm Megan Fierro from the Bertrand area. I've lived in Bertrand my whole life. I started my Girl Scout journey back when I was in school. My mom and her best friend were our leaders. And then my daughter got recommended to possibly join Girl Scouts since I had a ton of fun. And we figured out through council how to get her there, which was, it would be 11 years ago when she got started in Girl Scouts. So her first year as a Daisy, I did not volunteer. But then the second year, the leader and co-leader thought I would be a great fit at volunteering. So I stepped up to the role and did a little behind the scenes stuff. And then the year after that, they were like, hey, you want to step up and like do this? And I was like, sure. And the one co-leader was leaving. So I stepped up to help the leader and all that. And then after a while, her daughter was ready to phase out. So I stepped up into the role of primary leader. And then a couple years after that, the leaders came to me and talked about how our product team lead, Miss Carol, was ready to go. She had been with Girl Scouts for a long time. She took a bunch of girls to get their gold award and all that. And I commend her for all her service with Girl Scouts. So I shadowed her for a year, and then I took on the role of head product here in Bertrand, along with running a troop. And I found that so enthralling that I, to this day, continue to do product. And I've watched the Bertrand area increase sales by over 30% in the last few years. Also keep our girl numbers around the 75 to 80 mark, which I think is commendable. And also finally helped a bunch of girls that achieved hitting the 1,000 club, which hasn't been done here in, I don't think, ever. So I will say product's my passion. You can ask anybody around here. Yes, I know our girls will be aging out soon, but I've already assured the leaders that I'm going to stay on and do that for as long as I'm willing, because there's just something about, it's not just selling a box of cookies. It's not just selling a magazine. It's the adventures these girls do. Like, there's a troop who they're either at camp or going to camp soon. And to me, that's exciting. I want to hear about their adventures. And I want to know I made that possible, or hearing about what they did with the 1,000 club or 600 club. Like, it's that stuff that just drives me to just do it. And the leaders in our area will tell you I'm like the biggest cheerleader when it comes to that. And I'm like, no, if you want to achieve it, let's do it. Here's how we can make it. This is what I can do for you. I work with council on, you know, boosts when they need it that might not be scheduled or whatnot. They're like, yep, all right, you want some cookies? We'll make it happen. Get it in the system. So I just really enjoy Girl Scouts. And what it's done for my daughter, her goal now after earning her silver is to get her gold. And her big thing right now with Girl Scouts being in high school is she loves volunteering to help other troops and talk about like her bronze and her silver and the experiences she has done to inspire these other little girls to keep going. And I just think that's the greatest.
Wow. I mean, we have so much to unpack in this episode, because there are so many amazing tidbits that you just shared. And it sounds like you have had such a robust Girl Scout experience starting from when you were a girl. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, some of your favorite memories or why you loved Girl Scouts so much growing up?
The biggest thing was the leader. There were certain things we did every year that just made it that better. At Thanksgiving, we made friendship cornucopias. And we always broke one with all the girls. And that memory sticks with me like wholeheartedly. We looked forward to doing it every year, every year. We always made a special ornament at Christmas to put on our tree to commemorate that year. She believed that any badge was possible, and if you believed it, you could achieve it. And she also took us camping. I have a lot of memories at Camp Oak Hills from going there for my, you know, first experience on a platform tent and all the Girl Scout songs and those adventures, even watching my mom out in a tent a couple times that wasn't her cup of tea. But it's stuff like that that sticks with you throughout the years of being a Girl Scout. And it's those memories. It's like, I wanted our girls to experience that, you know, and share those experiences with others here in the Bertrand area so that they could achieve those things. And a lot of troops have achieved those things.
That is wonderful. You know, you mentioned that you knew you wanted your daughter to experience Girl Scouting because, you know, you loved it so much. Was there a moment when you remember it clicking, like, okay, yes, I want to volunteer? I know you mentioned that the other co-leaders kind of saw it in you and said, hey, you might be good at this. Do you want to help? Like, but I'm wondering if there's that turning point where you realized how much you loved it and you really wanted it for yourself too.
I would have to say, I think the biggest turning point would probably be when I took product over. That's when I knew there could be so much more and I could impact so many more people. I enjoy impacting people in my job every day when I train new people, even show old people how to do things and achieve things. So adding that to not just, you know, running a troop with my amazing, we don't call ourselves leader and co-leader, we're partners of crime, Brenda Brees, you know, and all the stuff we were doing for our girls. And I'm like, well, everybody else should be able to do this. And how can we do this? And any challenge that came along, like with COVID, leaders were like, well, now how do we sell boxes? Council says this. I said, hey, just like this. I made them all kits. I gave them tools and resources they needed to achieve great things. Girls still made the 600 club in a time when people are like, oh, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. Those are the major turning points that just keep me going with this.
That is so powerful. And I can feel your passion for our product program. And that is so, it's so clear how passionate you are about this. And it's one of my favorite things about our program too, is a girl's first business, learning these entrepreneurial skills, goal setting and achieving those goals. And I think one thing that people don't understand about our Girl Scout product program, which includes both our world famous cookies and our lesser known treats and breeds program, is that girls learn so much from being part of this program. One thing that I am curious to hear your perspective about, I mean, there are many things, but one thing in particular I'm really curious your perspective about is what you feel like adults receive from being involved in Girl Scouts as an adult. Like, what kind of benefits, what kind of skills have you learned? What keeps you kind of coming back?
A big thing I would have to say is friendship. I can tell you in the Bertrand area, there isn't one leader that doesn't respect and care about another leader at any point. We care about everybody. We are a huge team. Everybody looks out for everybody, and everybody has their strengths. Everybody has their weaknesses, and we play off them. If anybody puts that cry for help out, somebody is always there. Nobody leaves anyone hanging. And you know, we go to leader meeting once a month during the school year. I don't think there's a time when leaders come to those meetings and go, oh my God, another meeting. No, they want to be there because they know they're with their friends. They can talk about other things other than Girl Scouts and situations and get opinions and get help. I think that's the biggest thing a lot of people miss sometimes with being a leader. It's not just, I volunteer with Girl Scouts, you know, hey, look at me. And Bertrand, I haven't met anybody so far in this journey who's been like, you know, hey, look at what I've done and I do all this volunteering. It's none of that, because we're all like friends. We look to each other and to help each other and achieve goals and dreams and tell stories and just be there and impact each other.
Yeah, the adult friendships that result from being part of Girl Scouts are so popular. And a lot of people don't think about that. And it's funny that you mention it too, because another podcast that I recorded for this season, that was one of the first things that that person mentioned as well, was like, I've made some of my best friends, and making friends as an adult can be really difficult. So how fortunate we are to have this community, people to connect with. Now, another piece that I would love to touch on and really expand on is your role as the area product manager for Birch Run. Because one thing that a lot of people have no idea about is the fact that it's not just the troop leader role that you can volunteer for with Girl Scouts. There are so many volunteer roles outside of being a troop leader. And something like a service unit product manager, you know, you get to impact so many girls' lives, like you mentioned, but it's like kind of a different skill set than being a troop leader. Can you kind of talk about like the differences between the two roles and what you love about being that service unit product manager?
I would have to say the biggest difference in the roles is you're leading the biggest team ever. So in Birch Run, it starts with me. I get the information from council, okay, from Ashley a lot, and Amanda. They're my favorites at council. They love working with me because they know if there's something that they need achieved, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to find a way. And then I always try, when I get all the leaders together to go over things, I don't make it like boring. You got to be that cheerleader. If you're not a cheerleader type, nobody's going to want to get out there and sell it. You got to sell the vision and the statement and all that. I like doing quirky sayings. One that sticks with me is stay adventureful. Or when we did the we've got this, I reminded them time and time again, and it became our mantra then. And those leaders, it stuck with them because they knew it, no matter what we did, we had this. It, there was always somebody there for their back when it came to product. And it's stuff like that that I'm using everyday life now. And then, you know, you got to get those leaders to go back to their troop to sell it and make it feasible and that they want to do it and get those bright ideas going. And we bounce them off people and all that stuff. And at like the troop level, yes, you go to your girls and you're like, what do you want to do? But if you don't have somebody behind you saying, hey, okay, so your troop is going to need to sell 1,000 boxes of cookies this year. Okay, how can we do that? These are our booth opportunities. In Birch Run, we do try and set up an area booth to give every leader an opportunity to do a booth. So that way our area has a set location, so they're not looking for them. Yes, there are amazing council booths, like in Frankenmuth in the fall, we always had True Value. And that's like the biggest hidden gem. I don't understand, no offense, Frankenmuth, why you didn't hit it up as much as we did. But some, they'd be like, Megan, I need more cookies. Can I come to the cupboard? I'd be like, heck yeah, let's go. I never said no. I was always like, let's try and make this work. And that's another big thing when it comes to product, is you never want to tell them no. You want to find a way to get them to that yes that they need, you know, whether it be selling 2,000 boxes of cookies as a troop. Well, you know, we'll get there. Or, hey, we're really close to the troop t-shirts. Can you tell me how many more boxes my troop would need? Yeah, let me get on eBuddy. Let's figure out your average. Let's figure it out. Okay, this many. That's about one cookie boost worth. Here's the available opportunities. You know, answering those simple questions. Yes, sometimes that can be very time consuming, but not really when you look at the end goal of like a troop going to Niagara Falls, Universal, Camp, Chicago, you know, stuff like that is then the big result and brings the most rewarding experience. And I think a lot of people miss that in product because they think it's like, I just need to go push cookies to raise money. But you can make it so fun and set goals and make crazy signs and cookie costumes. One leader found one that somebody made from a long time ago, and they rock it all the time in parades and other stuff. But when you make it fun, and not like it's going to be a chore or something you have to do, people are willing to do it. When it comes to the candy, nuts, and magazines, when I taught leaders, you know, you can make this 100% online and turn off girl delivery and all that. I have some leaders, that's all they do. And they can sell $200 to $300 worth of product. And they never deal with the thing. Well, that right there, that's extra money for your troop. Easy peasy. Just by those simple things that leaders didn't know because somebody took the time to show them, especially when it comes to candy and nut sales, we went from only maybe selling $1,000 to $2,000 worth to we've hit as high as $6,000 now, just because somebody was their cheerleader behind him saying, hey, no, you can do this. This is how we can make it work. And that's one of my biggest things when it comes to product. I am their cheerleader. Just because I have the title of service unit product manager, it's not just about me. It's about the whole team here in Bertrand. We are big on that. We are a team and there is no I in it.
Listening to you, I'm like, I want to be on the Bertrand team. Like, how do I join? How do I become part of this? And my commute from Kalamazoo would be a little long of a commute. But so can you tell us a little bit more if somebody only knows Girl Scout cookies because they are like a huge Samoa fan, like they don't know the big deal behind the program aspect of it. Can you explain that a little bit to our listeners? Like, why is the cookie program such a big deal and such an important asset for our girls?
The cookie program is a huge asset to these girls because it doesn't just teach them money skills. It teaches them marketing skills. It teaches them goal setting. It teaches them how to set up a business. And they have an end goal, whether it be going to camp or the one troop that just graduated, their big end goal was going to Universal. And they look to me because I ran Cookie Cupboard here and I was the product manager here. Okay, how do we get there? And I was like, all right, girls, figure out your budget and then we'll figure out how many boxes and what you need and how we're going to get there. And they pushed it and stood out in the cold and all that. But they made it fun by playing music and drawing people's attention because it's hard when girls get older because people want the little kid. They don't want the older kid. But if they're out there having a ball, people are going to look and wonder what's going on. What is that? Oh, you guys are ending your career with Girl Scouts. Oh, you're planning a big trip. Well, let me help you. Let me buy a box of cookies. Or we get a lot more Hometown Hero cookies here now, which is the donation cookie program. If somebody personally is like, I really don't want Girl Scout cookies, don't want to eat them, getting them to donate a box of cookies. Bertrand does a huge 4th of July parade, and they get a lot of veterans, firefighters, EMS, police, sheriffs. Council has graciously given me the opportunity to keep cookies left over from the cupboard to pass those out on that day. And that's a huge added bonus that then the community sees the good things we're doing at Girl Scouts. So that way, then they'll want to contribute more. They want to see those things. And that really helps here when you get the community around you to see what it does. And when we talk about things and how we impact things. And then with the parents, when they see other troops and hear about other troops going places like Universal and Camp and Chicago and Niagara Falls, Ohio. I mean, troops have been all over here in Bertrand, and it's just been amazing. When other parents hear that and they know their troop is doing these big things, then they get on board and they want to sell more boxes of cookies. Or when their daughter gets excited about the 600 club or the 1000 club because they get so close, and their leader's like, hey, you know, here's what you can do. More and more get on board with it's not just buying Girl Scout cookies. Our local village, when we do area boosts, because I have to get a permit to do it, they put it all over their page and spread it all over the community. Hey, the Girl Scouts are going to be out selling. It's when you get that involvement that makes it so much better to get people to want to do it, because then they see and hear the end result of these troops and what these girls have done and how it can impact not only them, but the whole community around them.
Yeah, that is so powerful. And I love hearing the way you talk about kind of having that cheerleader mindset and that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We can get it done. We just have to figure out how. How have you built or guided that culture in your service unit for that kind of mindset to emerge?
I guided it by letting the leaders know, first and foremost, I would always be there for them. And then the quirkiness became. So I started doing Facebook Lives anytime something would come up with product that they would need to do to show them the how. Okay, so here's how you do it. So they always had a reference point to come back to look at, or they could watch them to do it, from setting up a cookie booth to putting a girl's initial order in to finalizing rewards, how to order cookies from a cookie cupboard. That type of stuff really resonated hardcore with them, even old and new. I had a lot of old leaders go, I didn't know that. Oh, and anytime a change comes through, it's not, hey guys, we got to change. Just like, all right, look, this is going to make our lives better. This is easier. Look at this new setup. It's so great. I hype it up. That's what cheerleaders do at a football game. They hype up the crowd to cheer the team on to do the best they can do. That's what I do with product. You could ask anyone here in Bertrand, from the leaders to even parents I have met and seen with this. I hype everything up to let them know why we are doing this and what the benefit will be. You know, yes, sometimes you have to give a little negative news and all that. But when we had to switch from not selling cookies in the fall to selling cookies with everybody else, I sat for like 2 weeks going, I need a Megan delivery. It can't come across sad or disheartening. So I thought about it. And then I sat in my meeting and we got some great news about that they're going to do bonus boosts in November and stuff like that. So we're still going to get a slight advantage. And I immediately after the meeting went live to let my leaders know, because I didn't need them to, yeah, council's going to send an email, which is great. Perfect. But they're going to want to hear it from me first to know that I'm okay with it. Because if Megan's not 100% okay with it, it might not be okay. But yeah, no, I was totally okay with it. And, you know, mapping out the benefits and all that stuff. It may not be time for that, but to have a plan in action automatically to heed questions and all that. And I let leaders know, if parents have questions, direct them to me. I'll answer anything. I'm here for you guys. Always knowing they have the support, I think, is just one of the biggest things.
It's so cool to hear kind of that leadership philosophy from you and, you know, how you view it. Because that is true leadership, being able to deliver news and know that you can inspire the people that you're leading to see the good and to be resilient and kind of move past what could be perceived as negative or as positive or whatever, and just make it happen. Do you feel like your leadership skills and your communication skills have been impacted by your Girl Scout experience?
Yes, 100%. I would say that. I used to not be as outgoing, but then when I learned when you can really be passionate about something, it can like make a huge difference. And now I use a lot of that in my everyday life and at work with my children, other people, and they really appreciate it. When I explain Girl Scouts, I don't explain it like a volunteer role. I explain, I create experiences and watch people do amazing things. You know, I'm not just a volunteer to volunteer. It's a passion of mine now that, like I said, I want to keep around for quite a while. I may not run a troop, but I see what product can do. And I want to keep doing that for as long as I am able and willing.
That is amazing. And I love what you said about, you know, holding on to that service unit product manager position and TBD on the troop leader experience if you're not going to run that. But I think, as I mentioned earlier, that's one thing that people don't know, is that you don't have to be a troop leader to be a Girl Scout volunteer. Can you share some of the other service unit roles that are part of the service unit team that might be a good fit for someone if they're looking to volunteer? They share this passion for empowering girls, but they're not necessarily ready to take that troop leader step.
Yes, there are some, I would say, big ones, because we even have some leaders here. They're more like, they'd rather help it. We do area events here in Birch Run once a month during the school year, except in December, because we know that's everybody's busiest month. We try and do a low cost to free event for all the girls to come together and experience something. And that is one of the best things new leaders love, because they're getting a Girl Scout experience right away without having to worry about, do I have enough funding? We have a product program just started, that type of stuff. So they don't have to worry about it. And there are some leaders, they're more big on, you know, well, I'll help at events and help with cleanup and stuff like that. We have a Girl Scout dad, and he's just there to support his daughter with fun events. Like, he helped us out with the parade on the 4th of July, and he's like, let's do a float. And I'm like, all right, dude, we'll put it to a vote. And everybody's on board. And he's like, I'm going to lead it. Okay. It's those things people can do. If you're good at event coordinating, like, and writing stuff like that, or managing a media page, like, there are those type of roles that can be super helpful. We created a page here for Birch Run, and we had this, yes, she is leader, but she took it over and turned it into a great thing. She can write events really well and put out information great. That's a really good role for people anymore, because they want to get like marketing experience and stuff like that. There's a lot more that want to get that experience. Well, you could get some of that with Girl Scouts and then probably apply for your dream job. I mean, running cookie sales, like, let's say you want to be in sales and you want to sell something and you need experience with that. Become a service program manager and lead troops to sales, because that's what a lot of companies want. They want the experience. But then if you put, you're a volunteer as well, it's like, whoa, double bonus. You know, you don't have to lead a troop of girls. There are other ways to lead these girls into teaching them skills, because there's marketing badges. If you're good at computer stuff, there's so many badges on that. Volunteer to be a volunteer and, you know, just teach batch classes on that stuff in your area, bigger areas. It's harder to find more and more of that stuff. And some of those girls are really interested in it. You know, you could be a science professor at a college and volunteer your time to teach girls badge workshops. Like I said, that's more good things that make people look better and can help them in everyday life with jobs and experiences and, you know, that fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that people don't know too about our badge programming, because I think sometimes outside of Girl Scouting, if you say, oh, you could lead a badge, people go, oh my gosh, I have no idea. And little do they know that our badges are set up with, here are the steps. And you can be flexible of how you achieve that step. You know, you don't have to follow it exactly what is laid out as the example in the book, as long as you meet the spirit of the requirement. Which is, in my mind, one of the best parts about our badge programming is that flexibility. So yeah, so many ways to get involved as a volunteer, and it's so rewarding to do so. What has been, if you had to pick like your number one favorite story or the favorite reason why you continue to volunteer, like what is that kind of driving why that keeps you coming back?
The biggest why is seeing what people achieve, especially here in Birch Run. We had a leader just retire. She put in her 13 years. And we as a team all got together and not only nominated her for a council honor pin, put together a whole slideshow presentation. We wrote a beautiful speech for her. We even reached out to her girls for stuff to put in it. We all wrote congratulations and made her a huge blanket. And she had no idea that we were doing any of this, because for what she did, she took over the Birch Run area when it was at a low. The person before her drove it into the ground, and she took over and was like me with product, said, well, we can turn this around and make it something better. And she did. And that's why we can keep high numbers of girls. We can retain leaders because they want to come to meetings. They want to be with us and experience that. And the girls want to come to the area events and do all that. She's the one who founded area events and why we should do them and what it could benefit and impact. And now, you know, we come up with more crazy ideas for them and what we can do and all that. And we just expand and expand, and no idea is ever looked over or whatnot. It's like, okay, you have that idea, come back with information. We talk about it, we vote on it. We do a huge skating event now and invite areas from all over to come. I think last year was only $12 and you got skate rental, laser tag, pizza, and pop for something like that. It's like amazing. And it sparked from one person's idea and led to a huge thing. And it's that, seeing all that, hearing all that from others, and everything, that just drives me to want to keep volunteering. And I know what drives everybody else in the area to stick with it and keep going because they see the impact it makes. You know, some of them, like, they're like my own children now because they've been with them so long, and they drive to just keep going.
So I don't know how someone could listen to you on this episode and not go, oh my gosh, I need to volunteer today for Girl Scouts. But if somebody was kind of on the fence about volunteering, maybe they're not sure if it's the right fit, what kind of advice would you give to them?
I think the biggest advice I could give to a person if they're on the fence about volunteering is you have a skill set that can impact even one person's life. And even though with me running a troop with my partner in crime and doing products, so yes, I have a little bit bigger volunteer role. But with our girls being high schoolers now, they're more very independent. So it's not necessarily we have troop meetings, it's check-ins and how are you doing and that type of thing. So that takes a step back and not as much of my time. Is even giving an hour a week to helping somebody out, whether it be helping run a badge a couple times a year or something like that, it brings you joy when you see their achievements more than anything. And when you spread that positive light that you watch somebody achieve something so great, it radiates to others and it makes others want to do the same thing. So even if somebody could spare an hour a week just for something like that, the positivity just spreads. I can't say it enough. When you start doing great things, it just spreads and it brings joy and you impact lives.
And it doesn't get better than that, does it? So is there anything, Megan, that you were hoping we would chat about today that we didn't get to?
I think the biggest thing areas could take away from this, especially since we were really hit home on volunteer recruitment, which I think is amazing, is start looking at local people and businesses and all that and what they could bring to the table and what benefit it could be, not only for them, but for you. And if you're running a troop, your troop, to get them to volunteer with Girl Scouts. Because even a simple thank you could be getting all the parents to buy a box of cookies and make a gift basket for somebody, for them to sign up for that volunteer role. Because once they sign up, then the liability is not on them as much as well. And a lot of people don't realize that Girl Scout has a really good insurance backing and all that stuff. So for them to spend the little bit of money, and I mean, Girl Scouts is so inexpensive. My son has been a Boy Scout for many years, and I've watched cost rise and rise and rise. And at this point, I could sign up 7 girls for the cost he pays to be a Boy Scout. And they don't get the support, they don't get the help, they don't get the benefit. And I find it really sad because he's heard my experiences and what we've done. And it's like, I want the same thing. And it's not that they don't try here, but it's hard when you don't have the support you need. So when you think about that, for the little bit of cost to get somebody to just sign up to volunteer to then cover anything, if that's what they're helping with, it's nothing, because the positive outcome you get from it in the end is just truly, truly amazing.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Megan. You have definitely filled up my cup and, you know, left me feeling super inspired today. And I'm so thankful for incredible volunteers like you, who your passion is so contagious. And, you know, you really are making such a huge difference in the lives of girls. So thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for joining me today and sharing about your Girl Scout experience. I just know that someone will be really inspired by you today. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, awesome. Of course. Well, it was great to chat with you. To all of our listeners, if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please be sure to do so by clicking the beautiful subscribe button that you see. And then be sure to leave us a rating and a review. This will really help us to expand our reach. And you never know who might be really inspired to hear Megan's story today and who might find a fit in their lives or Girl Scouts. From there, be sure to share this episode far and wide and make sure to help us spread the word about all of the amazing volunteer opportunities waiting for you in Girl Scouts. So thanks again for tuning in today. And until our next adventure, be bold, be brave, and leave each place a whole lot better than you found it. We change the world.